Good morning, good morning. How are you all doing? Excellent. Freedom, yes. I love what Michael said. Everything we've done today has been leading up to lay an amazing platform so that I can preach this morning. I've been excited this whole week to preach this morning. And I really believe, I know this is a word from God because I've taken it straight out of His Word. So, which is helpful to know that we preach out of God's Word. That's all we ever want to do. I mean, as R.T. Kendall said, there in the church there's been a sort of a separate divorce between Word and Spirit, but you cannot do that. You have to live together. You have to function together, Word and Spirit, and that's what we are. Word and Spirit. Word and Spirit. Say with me, Word and Spirit. We should get the muses to put a rhyme to that. We could make a song and we could rap to it. And I know some of you might have felt the worship was a little loud this morning, but as I would like to say, it was off the hook. And I turned to Bridget. I said, "Man, this is like worshiping in Africa." And that's where we come from. That's what we're used to. And so, welcome to our Feast of Nations, Africa. Where's Frank? Frankie, stand up. Hallelujah. Africa, my brother. In Africa, when a preacher stands up and he says, "Amen," what does the congregation do? Amen. No, geez, that was pathetic. Thank you. So that's how they start. Very sort of Pentecostal. Amen. Yeah? Oh, flip. Okay, I'll give up. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Turn with me to chapter 3. Some of you should go on a trip to Africa. You get a shock. A skok, as we would say in Afrikaans. I don't know which is nicer. Anyway. So we're going to do today, it helps if I turn it on for us to do anything. There we go. We're going to speak about freedom in Jesus. Chapter 3 in the book of Galatians is the most exciting chapter, if not in the whole Bible, if for us to understand. And so I've asked the pastors this morning to give me extra time. That's why I'm up so early, because I want to try and get through this. I don't want to break it up. I want us to get this one package deal this morning. I'm excited. I hope my enthusiasm is going to excite you. We looked at freedom in grace, freedom in faith, and this morning, freedom in Jesus is the culmination of the book. It's the center factor of the book of Galatians. Please go and read Galatians 1 to 6. Sit down. It's going to take you 10 minutes to read the whole book over and over and over again, and each time you're going to go, "Wow, I didn't see that the first 5 times. How did I only see that this time? I'm not sure how I got that." Remember, we looked at it, this letter to the 4 churches. The Judaizers were coming along and saying, "You can believe in Jesus, but you also got to get circumcised, and you also got to follow the laws, and you got to follow the regulations." Is my voice very loud this morning? Okay, turn me down a little bit, Micah, because I'm probably going to raise my voice a little, and I don't want anyone... But it's going to keep you awake. That's the point. And Paul was writing to the Galatians. He introduced, as we looked in chapter 2, justification by faith. And in chapters 3 and 4, he actually argues and brings forward his doctrine as an apostle. And he's teaching them and he's helping them. And remember, last week we looked at, said, you're making a good decision. You're living well. You have good behavior, but you have bad belief. And that is what? Legalism. Thank you, Alan. And so we looked at that last week. So this week, we're going to read a chunky piece of scripture because I want us to get it into our hearts. Chapter 3, verse 1. Go. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Have you begun by the Spirit and are now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham, take note, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now then, that is, those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Underline that scripture. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Underline that. Saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. From Father Abraham had many sons. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Are you of faith?
Yes.
We are blessed along with Abraham. Where are you going, Mark? I'm so glad you asked. Verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now, it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us, I think we heard that this morning, from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Who's a Gentile here? We're all Gentiles, right? So that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it, pay attention, or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. And to your offspring, who is Christ? If we never knew who the offspring singular was, we do now, because it says clearly, who is Christ? This is what I mean. The law which came 430 years afterward does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgression until the offspring should come, to whom the promise has been given, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now therefore faith came, and we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. Last verse. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. And if you've got a smattering of that, you should be in yippee, yippee, you, ya, ka, ya, ya. Thank you. So today I want to look at three covenants. I want to have a look at the Abrahamic covenant, and this is why I wanted to do it all in one shot. I want to look at the Mosaic covenant, and I want to look at the Messianic or the Jesus covenant, and I want us to look at it. You know, you've heard me say many times, let's connect the dots. And I want us to connect the dots today and see how these covenants act upon one another and live for each other and are not separated by being annulled or done away with, and to understand that the first covenant, we think grace is a New Testament thing. No, it's not. Grace in the Garden of Eden. God was gracious to help Adam and Eve to leave the garden and protect them, and that's why He put the angels there, so they couldn't go in and be stupid anymore. He was, by grace, was Abraham saved. And we get years later, the grace covenant reenacted, if I could put it that way. So it starts off with him asking six questions. Who's bewitched you, Galatians? Did you receive the Spirit and see miracles by works of the law? Did you receive the Spirit by hearing with faith? Are you foolish? Are you so foolish? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer in vain? And he says, everything that I've already given to you, does this come by the law? Or does it come by hearing and faith? That's what he's really saying. And so I want us to have a look and connect some dots. Galatians 3:6 says this, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, but that comes from Genesis chapter 15. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness, talking about Abraham. Galatians 3:8, and the Spirit, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. I thought gospel was only in the New Testament. No. The good news was to Abraham. In you shall all the nations be blessed. Genesis chapter 12 verse 3, the first time he cut the covenant. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And that's why in Abraham, through Jesus Christ, we are blessed. And we live under grace. And we live in a gracious covenant. So let's have a look at the Abrahamic covenant. And the point of the Abrahamic covenant, as I've got up there, the point is the necessity of faith. Abraham covenant, necessity of faith. If you don't have faith, he couldn't live. He needed faith. That was the point. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Point number one, it is by grace alone that God blesses his people. Abraham had done nothing to deserve. Does this sound like anything we've been preaching a little bit in the New Testament? Abraham did nothing. He just went along and he was there and he said to him, Abraham. No, he didn't. He said, Abraham. Because he wasn't Abraham yet. I know it doesn't mean anything to some of you, but it's very important though. He had done nothing to deserve it. He was a pagan. He wasn't looking for God. He wasn't seeking God. He was going about his business in his foreign land, having fun, raising children. Well, not really. No children yet. Raising cattle and dogs and cats and having fun. And God blesses his people based on what Abraham had done. If it's God's initiative, it's his grace. It's God who makes the covenant, not Abraham. Abraham. I know I've just written Abraham here and I'm saying Abraham. He wasn't seeking to come to God. He was just having fun going along. He says that all nations are going to be blessed through you, Abraham. He says, but all nations, how's that going to work? I don't even have one son yet, Lord. He says, no, I don't have anything. He says, get this, God, if you didn't know it. I'm 99 and my wife is 90. Hello? Think God was surprised? No. A little later, Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. What is Abraham thinking? 99, 90. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Radical promise requires radical faith. And he believed the Lord and he counted him as righteousness. That's what Galatians 3:6 tells us. And that's why we have to keep going back and having a look and seeing how Paul, remember Paul was a great Pharisee, a great scribe, a great scholar, and he understood the fullness of time. And that's why if you read it, he keeps going back and he keeps drawing it and showing that God wasn't like, oh, that didn't work out. What shall I do? God has been planning this from the very beginning. Everything has been pointing towards Jesus. Everything he did has been focusing and saying, silly people, You don't know what I'm doing, but it's coming. He is the one. The one is coming. The one that's going to give us freedom and liberty. And the one that we can count on. And the one we can have faith in. The one we can stand on. He's coming. Thank you. Hey, this is exciting stuff, church. Amen. God makes this radical, too well to believe promise of a great future, our inheritance and our legacy, the series pale in comparison to what God is saying to Abraham here. And He's saying to him, go ahead, Abraham. And if you read further in Genesis 15, I haven't got time. Go there and you'll see when He cuts the covenant, what does Abraham do? Like some of you. He's sleeping. God's cutting a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham's... Jesus cut a covenant with us while we were sleeping. Which means what? Which means this is a unilateral covenant which God says, based on my grace for you, Abraham, I'm initiating this covenant with you, and though you bring absolutely nothing to the table, nothing to this covenant, I'm going to bless you. And Jesus says the same thing with us. While you are in your sins, while you are being foolish like the Galatians, He says it's not about you, it's about my Son, and Him and I are going to cut this covenant, and you don't have to bring anything to the table. But I'm going to bless you. It's by grace alone that God blesses these people. It's by faith alone that God's people receive His blessing. By grace alone, God blesses. By faith alone, we receive His blessings. How did Abraham receive this blessing? He didn't earn it. He received it not on his own merits. Does this sound familiar? He received it because he believed what he heard. There was no Bible. Let's go and check it up in the scriptures. God, are you the real God? He says, hi, Abraham. How are you, dude? He says, I want you to go to another country. What? Just consider it for a moment. God comes along and says to you, hi, Ellen. How are you doing? I want you to pack up everything and go to another country. Well, you know, I've got a great career here. I've got things going on. I've got a nice family, I've got a nice house, I've got this. I'm just picking on Alan. Let me think about it, let me pray about it, let me get 3 prophetic words, let me go and study the scriptures, let me get... No. Abraham said, yes, sir. I'm skipping ahead in my notes, I'm going crazy here. Galatians 3:6, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteous. Well, is this only in the book of Galatians? No, Romans 4:3. For what does the Spirit say? Abraham believed God and it was counted him as righteousness. But Abraham believed that God had the power to do what He said He would do. And how you doing? Do we believe that God has the power to say He will do what He said He would do? Good. I've got some life expectancies for you. The whole point He was trying to bring to the Judaizers, He was going to say, you guys just don't get it, man. Let me help you. Because some of you now, well, the big thing about circumcision, some of you think, well, hold on. Now, Abraham was circumcised. No, he wasn't. He only gets circumcised in Genesis chapter 17. But before we get to Genesis chapter 17, he was already righteous. He already was saved. He was already redeemed. He was already justified by grace through faith. It wasn't based on what Abraham did. It was based on what God was doing for him, the covenant He had cut with him. He was saying to him, don't worry, Abraham. I've got this. Just follow me. Walk with me. Old prophets knew this too. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. Behold, his son is puffed up. It's not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by faith. Thanks, Vince. And now we have, does this sound familiar? Because now we got thousands of years later, Jesus coming and saying the same thing. The righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall walk by faith. This Abrahamic covenant was laying the foundation and pointing us to the Messiah. It wasn't the Abraham covenant cut that one dead. It was an eternal, gracious, grace covenant. Well, what about the law? Yeah, well, what about the law? I'm glad you asked. Number three. Let's see, where's number three? There's number three. Faith alone is expressed in radical obedience. Remember last week I said if you want to understand obedience in the scriptures, here we go. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land. I will show you. I'll just pantomime that for you already. Where Abraham said, okay, I'm going. People, pack up the tents. Let's go. I'll keep getting to the offspring. Pack up the tents. We're going. Where are we going? I don't know. Because it's African day, I'm going to tell you in Zulu. He said, Angazlutu, which means I have no idea. Well, Afrikaans? Ek weet nie. I don't know. But surely you must know. Have you got a plan for us? No. Angazlutu. Well, who told you this? God. God? Who's God? Pagans. You mean that rock that we've been worshipping all this time with the sun spoke to you? No, there's another God. He appeared to me. He told me this stuff. And you're just going to follow him and do what he says? Yeah. Why? I don't know. Because he made me righteous. I'm righteous. I like that. I'm righteous in his sight. But what about the sun and the moon and the stars and the rocks and the big tree over there where we make the sacrifices? Old stuff, we're not doing that no more. What? Get inside the head of the people at the time. He says, where are we going? He says, okay, this is by faith. We express our radical obedience. Okay. So does that mean we just get to do what we want? No. Well, we're not under law, we're under grace? No. Law teaches, grace teaches us to do what to sin? Say no. Radical blessing, radical faith, radical grace is expressed in radical obedience. Abraham, the father of faith, the recipient of this radical grace and blessing, wanted to be a blessing, and he's a chief example to us. First one, a radical obedience was, take your land, and we belabored that point a little bit. Goes and he says, all we got here, we're taking with us, and we're going. What we can't carry, we're going to leave behind. Gets to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis 17, he says, oh, by the way, Abraham, I've got a great idea for you. What's that, Lord? It's this thing we call circumcision. What? He says, yeah, now go sharpen the knives. I know most of you girls don't know what we're talking about. The boy's going, ha la la la, song in my head. And he gets circumcised. And he says, oh, hold on, Abraham. You know this radical obedience thing? I'm not finished with you either. Let's go to Genesis 22. Well, what happens in Genesis 22? He says, you know this son, the seeming offspring one, the heir, the one from where Jesus will come? Take him and kill him. What? I ain't doing that. No, radical obedience. Those of you who have got children here, I know one person that literally freaks out. Mark, take Matthew and take him out the back and kill him. Are you? Cheers, I'm going to another church. This church is stupid. Yeah. Yeah. He says, no, okay. Bring the wood. Get the wood. Get a sharp knife. Come with me. And if you read later on, he says, no, I had faith because I knew God would raise him from the dead if need be. Radical obedience. That's grace. It's not law. It's understanding and living. Is he attempting to earn God's favor? No, he's not. Is he attempting to get his salvation or his blessing? No, he's not. He already had all that. He already had salvation. He already had justification. He already had his righteousness. He already had favor and blessing. He was just being obedient to the Father. And you know why? It's a heart thing. Why would you not want to be obedient to God? Opposed to, well, why should I? We should always want to be. He's living by faith. He's living in radical obedience. Go and read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to 39, I think it is. And you go and see about, I know he starts off, this faith is the substance of things hoped for and blah, 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 blah. And then it goes and talks about all these men of faith and this cloud of witnesses and all that. But we never read to the end. And you read from 32 to 39, man, and they were taking the kingdom for God. They were being tortured, they were being martyred, they were being killed, they were taking kingdoms, they were seeing, the woman was seeing their husbands resurrected from the dead and given back to them. This is living by faith. This is resurrection power. This is John 10:10, abundant life that they are seeing and speaking and living. And you see that they're living in this. And Paul said, and I hope we feel this way, I am dead to the world and the world to me. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live in the flesh, but live by the Spirit. We don't live by radical obedience simply because we lack faith. And please hear me carefully. Mark said I should just go and do whatever pops into my head. No, I didn't say that. When God speaks, then you need to be able to have faith for that. Help us to understand the salvation by alone, God. Help us to understand salvation by grace and faith alone. Deliver us from a Christianity that says, I claim grace, but I live and I indulge in stuff that the world does. It's not grace, it's not faith. That's the whole point. The second one we're going to look at quickly. Oh my word. The Mosaic Covenant. What does Moses now teach us? I think it tells us there. It reveals the futility of the flesh. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do better. That's law. That's legalism. That's trying harder. That's trying to make it work. I'm doing everything I can. But that's not what it's about. We see that this grace covenant, the law covenant, for us to discern God's word correctly. I've said that a number of times. Know that it does not contradict God's covenant with Moses or Abraham. In actual fact, the Mosaic covenant complements, do you hear what I said? Complements the Abrahamic covenant. It shows us the necessity of faith in Abraham. Moses shows us the futility of the flesh. When we're talking about the law here, we're talking about Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that kind of law, plus the ten, not just the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the whole law. Because it says if you can't do it all, then you might as well, you're cursed. It's not saying just keep the ten. It's saying do everything. Galatians, let's have a look at this. Galatians 3:17. This is what I mean. The law which came 430 years afterwards, that's Moses now, Mount Sinai, getting the law, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise. Dissect this stuff. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of sins, transgression. Until. So we know that this law, this Mosaic law, has a lifespan. The offspring should come to whom the promise has been made and was put in place through angels by an intermediary. And we see here that he's so showing us. The picture that we have to try and understand is Adam to Jesus, salvation's history timeline. We have the Abrahamic covenant. And in parenthesis, we have the law, Mount Sinai, which came 1300 years. And then we get Jesus' new covenant of grace. And we see that that was just a parenthetical law, if I could say it that way. And then we understand that grace came with Abraham, and grace was reignited, not reinvented, but established again in Jesus Christ, but this time for eternity, for us to understand. So let's go on. So in Galatians, where am I? Yeah, Galatians, it talks a lot about the law. And it says all the stuff. But what it tells us is that the law, it can't bring life. It can't bring righteousness. It can't bring justification. It can't bring salvation. It's not reliable and it's not of faith. So let's stop relying on the law. Let's stop living in the law and living in grace and understanding what that means for us. We see that in Galatians 3:19. It says, why then the law? It's important. Because if it can't do all ourselves, well, what does it meant to do? Matthew 5:17. Do you not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets? I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. That's the point. Jesus was the only one who could fulfill all of that, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the Ten Commandments. He was the only one who could do that. And that's why he was the perfect one, the lamb, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect lamb for us, that we don't have to go and do all this stuff anymore. Is this making sense? Good. Its purpose is to reveal the futility of the flesh. Because we try in the flesh. I try, and I'm going to do better next week. Oh, Mark, now that you preach this word, I'm going to go out of here and do better. No. Stop. Don't even think like that. Just wait till the end of the sermon and you'll hear why. It's come to reveal the futility of the flesh. The flesh, we understand, a body, soul, and spirit. And the flesh is the part that doesn't want anything to do with Christ. It wants to do its own thing. It is a great place for us to understand, I'm just going to do what I want to do, and whatever makes feels good, I'm going to do that. Yeah, we have another name for that. It's called hedonism. Well, it feels good. It feels right. So I'm just going to do it. No, no, no. I'm my own boss. It's my body. I know some of you, the daughters have said this. It's my body. I'll do what I like with it. And the parents say, no, no. And sometimes we're like children, we don't get over that. We carry on. I'm my own boss. No one tells me what to do. I'm not going to listen to anyone. I'm going to do my own thing. That's how the flesh wars with the spirit. So your spirit's alive to Jesus, alive to Christ, and the flesh is going, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And we go, yeah, okay, let me listen to the flesh because the flesh is so important. No, I'm dead to the flesh. I'm dead to the world. I live by the Spirit. Father, what does your Spirit say? It says, don't walk down that alley, you foolish Galatian. But I want to do what I want to do. I don't even know where I am in my notes anymore. I guess it's okay. Thank you, Christopher. Galatians 3:10 says, the righteous shall live by faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law. What? All of the law. Because if we go back to Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and the Ten Commandments and we live there, we're all in big, big trouble. Because not one of us has ever been able to fulfill the law. Not now, not tomorrow, not when you go away and say, I can do better. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to jump on this escalator that's coming down. I'm going to run up it. You know how tired you get? Like sweaty like me right now. If we don't follow everything, that's why Matthew 5, it says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He was helping them to see something. It's not a cute little scripture. It was there for a purpose. When he after done the Beatitudes. Oh. We all disobey the law. That's just fact. The law, we disobey the law. It exposes our sin. It confronts us. And that's why, because we have law mindsets, when we fall under the law and we commit a sin, and then we feel guilty. It's not of Jesus, it's not of Christ, it's not of the Father. And I did something really bad. No, you did something stupid, which was bad. And now I feel guilty. It's because you're living under the law. Well, then I'm just under grace and I can still go and do that and I won't feel guilty. Oh, you foolish Galatian. That was the point. Who has bewitched you? Who said the law can't justify you? It can't do this for you. It can't do that for you. But now you want to live there. Why? Because of my flesh. My flesh cries out. And I'm so weak. And we are. That's why we need Jesus. And His Holy Spirit to strengthen us. To say, no, I'm not doing that. It confronts us with what we cannot achieve. It confronts the law of God and brings the sinful heart. Of course, none of us have that here. To the surface, and we respond because we can't obey the law. The law intensifies our sin. It appears in children, the terrible twos we call it, and maybe some younger. They learn this word, and every parent is unsuspecting. And they're going along in their life with their goo goo gaga happy little baby. And then the goo goo gaga happy little baby who's so cute in everyone's eyes. You say, come, let's go, and says, no. And rebellion just rose up. And we're going, oh, isn't that cute? Look, if I tell him to go and put his shirt on, look what he's going to say. No. And we laugh. And what are we doing? We're intensifying and we're enforcing rebellion in the child. For you parents. Now, our problem is, though, that some of us adults have grown up and we never unlearned that. I'm in charge. You're not the boss of me. I'm going to do things my way. God spoke, and he said, I should do this and this. And you're going, that's not even in God's word. Yeah, but God spoke. No, God didn't speak. Your flesh spoke to you, and you need some self-speak. So, well, what's God's word on it? I'm going to do this thing. Our sins in our hearts are exposed, and our sins increase, and our sin is intensified. But there's good news. And Galatians 3:19 says, why then the law was added because of the sin until the offspring should come. And that's where we go from law to grace. Because grace in Jesus will give us, because as the sin increases, so does grace. So I can just carry on being stupid and God's grace to me will continue. That already tells me you have a wicked heart. Why would I not want to say no, when I know that it's wrong? Listen, I'm preaching to me too, so don't go, well, I feel condemned now, because that's not the point, and that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Let me miss some stuff here. We all deserve the wrath of God. We all know that. Pass. We stand condemned before the law. Thanks a lot, law. I'm just trying to keep this on the down low, and I'm trying to be cool, and I'm just trying to not anybody know this stuff. And the law comes along and exposes it. Bingo. Oh, guilty, shameful, terrible. Oh, can't show my face there. Yeah, that's what the enemy wants. And we oblige. We say, okay, enemy, you just keep going. I'm just figuring this out. Thanks. Thank you, Lord. We stand condemned before the Lord. Galatians 3:10 says, in 3:10 it says, not only are we under a curse because of the law, but 3:11 says, it is evident that no one is justified by the law. Why then do we keep doing it? Flesh, spirit. Spirit's alive. Remember we said, I'm dead to myself, I'm alive to Jesus. I don't know where I've got it here, I've got it in here somewhere, I'll get there. I don't know what I'm doing. So why are you telling us, you're asking me? I'm telling you this simply because it reveals the law helps us to see our inability to obey the law, ergo the futility of our flesh. And by now you should be going, thank you, Mark, that is so good. I really needed to understand that and know that. I didn't figure it out. I can't understand why I always want to do these wrong things. And I didn't know that there was this power in me called the Holy Spirit. And I actually can stand up and I can grow a spine and I can say no. Wow. I'm telling you all this because of the Mosaic law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. The law was a parenthesis time. Don't make so much of it. We want to, well, the law, what about the law? It says this in the law. Yeah, did say that. And it's helpful to help us to understand the futility of what we do in our flesh. So what's it telling us? It says we are prisoners of sin. We are prisoners chained to the law. At every turn, the law exposes our sin. The law intensifies our sin. There's nothing we can do. Now, I can handle it. You don't know me. I can handle it. Yeah, I've heard you and greater men of God say that too. The harder we try, the worse it gets. Because the tireder we get, the more effort we have to put in, because last time didn't work. Until faith came. As I've been saying, not only did the Abrahamic covenant lead us to Jesus, the Mosaic law leads us to Jesus. That is good news. The Abrahamic is the necessity of faith. The Moses covenant is the futility of the flesh. The Jesus covenant is the price of freedom. Jesus paid the price for us. And I've got 6 or 7 minutes to close this one. Jesus fulfills the law of Moses. So if it's been fulfilled, do I need to go back to it again? Answer is no. It's like when you get those things they give you at school for the kids, and sometimes it says, Chris is a something guy. And there's a little line. And you type, great. Chris is a great guy. Susan is an even greater gal because she puts up with Chris. See, you got it. And once that's been done, and we understand that, we don't have to go back there. We don't have to question it, and what's that all about, and why is that, and how's that? And Susan, you're such a woman of faith. Yeah, she is. And Chris, you're a great guy. Just work with me. He never, ever sinned once. He lived right. He lived it in perfect faith and righteousness. No other person in the rest of the world, in being a leader, a teacher in history of man, ever claimed to have the righteousness of God. Because if they did, they were lying. How do you know they're lying? Their lips were moving. Hebrews 10:1, for since the law was but a shadow of the good things to come. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Matthew 5:17, we've already quoted that one. So the question, of course, is, how did Jesus do that? Because that's important. Jesus obeyed God's law for us. You mean I don't have to obey God's law? No, Jesus did it for us, and we're alive in Christ Jesus. You know, when I was doing this, I remembered as a young kid, I grew up in a denomination. And I always say, come to the altar. Come and repent of your sins at the altar. You know what they didn't tell me? They didn't tell me what that meant. Whoever grew up like that, come to the altar, kneel at the altar, and have your sins forgiven. Yeah, you know what it meant? What were altars meant for? Sacrifice. I was going up there to kill myself. They didn't explain that to me. I thought this was just, I'm going to say, Lord, forgive my sins, and I don't feel good about myself. No, it meant I'm going to have to die to myself and die to my flesh and die to all my ideas and my thoughts and my way I want to do things. I'm not the boss of me anymore. He is. He's the captain of the host. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the mighty Savior. He is the all-sufficient one. He is perfect in all His ways. He is the perfecter of all our ways. Where am I? Jesus obeyed the law for us. No other person ever did that. I said that. Jesus endured the wrath of God for us. Can we comprehend that a little bit? Jesus took upon the wrath of God for us. Why don't we just say that? Well, He took the wrath. Jesus took the wrath for us. Have we any idea what that must have meant? How would you like to be on a cross between heaven and earth, and all of a sudden, a freaky thing happens like a thunderstorm and a black clouds, and everything goes quiet and silent. There's an earthquake. And Jesus says, "Why have you forsaken me?" And Father's turned his face away. He couldn't look at the sin. Your sin, my sin. Jesus took upon himself. The Father had to turn his face away for a moment in time. Jesus completes the promises of Abraham. John 8:56. "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Abraham, thousands of years before, Jesus, thousands of years later. And everybody looks just like they did in the Old Testament and part and the New Testament. They all look to Jesus just the way we look back to Jesus. They were looking for the Savior. We accept and see the Savior. They were looking for the finished work of the cross. We look back and see the finished work of the cross. He completes the promises. Abraham was under a covenant of grace. He saw the future. He looked to the future. The day of the new covenant that Jesus would enter for eternity. He was the first Adam and the last Adam, not the second Adam. He was the finishing product. That's why he said, "It is finished. My work on earth is finished, and the work that you sent me to do, it is finished, it is completed. The law is fulfilled. I can now move on. And Lord, I'm coming to you." Go and read John 17, the whole of John 17. If you don't weep, then I don't know. Let's finish this quickly. By grace alone, he gives us salvation. To us. They were saved by grace alone through faith, just the same we are saved by grace alone. Hebrews 11:26. He, being Moses, considered Moses. When did Moses live? Oh, quite a little time before Jesus, right? Do you think Moses knew a whole lot about Jesus and who his father would be and all that kind of stuff? No, but he knew through God. Considered the approach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. What does that mean? For he was looking to the reward. To our sea, to Egypt, all the riches, everything. And he says, "No, thank you, because I know about Christ. And that is my destiny. That is where I'm going. That's what I'm looking. I give this all up for the sake of Christ." He was looking for the Messiah. We take hold of it. And this message of God separates all religions and religion into a relationship with Jesus Christ. In closing, it's not a system of moral improvement that we have in the Bible. If I read this manual, I'll get better, I'll do better. No, it's not that. It's not a systematic way to make your life better. To work harder and follow these principles to your best life, your checklist, strike the pose, follow the routine. This is not how we become more moral or more good. Your need is not for a better life. My need is not for a better life. My need is for a new life. That's why we have new life. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. You can't improve yourself. You can punish yourself. It's pointless. You can feel guilty about stuff. Remember, if you truly have already have died, "I've been crucified with Christ, I no longer live." You're dead, but you're alive in Christ. Christ lives in me, he is everything, he is my righteousness, he is my joy, he is my peace, he is my life, he's my everything. That's what we should be saying, that's how we should be living. We should be saying, it's not us becoming better, but Christ becoming everything. We say it's all about Jesus, all to you we surrender, Lord. And we have to understand, though, that when we say, "I died," we are dead. No matter, hold on, I just got this one more thing I want to do for me. And so I resurrect myself again and I go home and I go. And then Paul writes, you foolish Pickeringite. I'll die again. Another one more thing I want to do. You foolish Pickeringite. When you gave you the message of the Spirit, now you want to do it in the flesh again. Tisk, tisk. This is good news. Abraham slept while the covenant was cut, and you will be blessed. We slept, we're dead in our sins while the covenant was cut. We don't have to do anything. We can't make it better. Whew. Last one. Through faith alone, we receive His Spirit in us. Galatians 3:14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to us people in Pickering, in Canada here, and all over the world, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. That is going to be freedom and liberating and exciting. And I really am closing this morning. This morning message, helping us to understand the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and the new covenant. And for us to understand, God cut the covenant with Abraham. He cut the covenant with Moses on his behalf. He did not cut it with us. He cut it with His Son for us. That's why we are so liberated in this, why we live in such freedom. Because otherwise we would have had to go to the cross. We would have had to be in the perfect lamb that was slain. We would have to have taken all our sin upon us, which we could not bear. But Jesus did it for us. And that's why Jesus, grace is not a thing. It's not an object. It's not a figment of our imagination. Grace is a person. His name is Jesus. This morning's message is not about going out and trying harder. Remember I said, don't go out of here. I'm not going to allow you to walk out of here today thinking I'm going to go and do better. That's amazing, Mark. Thank you. Perhaps I've never understood it that way before. That's wonderful. I've never seen it that way before. I just thought that the law was there or it was just this other thing and all that. But the Abraham covenant, the Moses covenant, we're all pointing to Jesus. And we're living in that glory. And we're living in that realm. And we're living in His realm. And that's why it says in Ephesians, we are seated in heavenly realms with Him. And we're going to reign with Him forever and ever. Based, perhaps for the first time you realize it's not based on anything that you've ever done. Or will be based on anything you can ever do. It's simply believing Him. That He said He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. That you are righteous in Christ. Holy Spirit, don't fix me. Make me new. Let's just stand together. I don't want one person to walk out of here today going, great message, Mark. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do better. Because then I've preached in vain. I want you to walk out of here this morning going, I am the righteousness of God. Thank you, Jesus, for cutting the new covenant for me, which I can live in. The one that I have glory in. The one that is for me, that you took on. Go and read the for us part. He died for us. He took the sin. He took the wrath of God. He's hung on that cross between heaven and earth. The new covenant came as the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. It was infused and was sealed. Ephesians 1-14. God planned it. Jesus carried out. The Holy Spirit sealed it. This is all the message of grace. Father, I come to you in the name of your Son Jesus. And God, we are so grateful that while we were sleeping, while we were not even paying attention, God, that you sealed this covenant with your Son Jesus. This covenant, this gospel message of grace that was preached to Abraham before. God, that I live in the legacy, in the inheritance, the receiving of this by faith in Jesus Christ. Seal this in our hearts this morning, Holy Spirit. Touch us this morning in a mighty way, God. Thank you. Don't bless me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon me. Not, Lord, favor me. Lord, thank you for your favor upon me because of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.